This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
BFM 89.9 is celebrating World Environment Day, brought to you by Inda Water Consortium. It is 6:38 and you're listening to the Evening Edition. I'm Lee Chui Lin. Now, as mentioned, today is World Environment Day, and as you may have heard across the station, we're centering it around the theme of planet over profit. And so for this hour, we want to know what businesses are doing in this area and whether it's even a true priority at this moment in time. And, you know, this is really coming as companies around the world are trying to see how they can move forward and balance profit and the environment. Sustainability is such a buzzword at the moment, and that kind of makes sense because we need to consider how companies, especially big ones, have huge carbon footprints, use large amounts of resources. The list just goes on. In fact, The Guardian reported last year that merely 20 companies actually emit a third of the world's total carbon emissions. And that's an important number, I think, to put in context, because whenever we think about the environment, whenever we think about measures that are being taken to try to reduce that footprint, we tend to think about it in terms of countries or regions. It's like, who is doing what? But it is worth instead looking at it in terms of who is making what. Now, here in Asia, the picture is somewhat brighter. Based on a report called Financing a Sustainable Future in Asia by Refinitiv, Asian companies outperform the rest of the world on sustainability. And it's encouraging as well, given that the region is expected to be the growth engine of the world in the near future. Nonetheless, if we look at Malaysia, then we still have a long way to go. The report also says that while 87% of local companies have adopted waste reduction policies, only 20% have concrete targets when it comes to implementation. And I think the question that we're trying to get at today is really a question of will, you know, to what sits at the heart of most companies' business practices, and also to see whether there's an actual desire to change things around and benefit both the company and the planet, and to see whether, even if you are driven by profit, as let's face it, almost every business is, and if they say they aren't, then I don't know. I don't know how they're making it. But, you know, even if you are driven by profit, is there a way to also find a benefit in environmental measures and to make it sustainable, to make it genuinely sustainable in your company's practices? So to talk about that with us today, especially in terms of the region and to understand how we're doing, is DW Lee, Deputy Director of Action Learning at the Asia School of Business in collaboration with MIT Sloan. DW, thank you so much for joining us.
Good evening, Lynn. Thank you for having me.
So, I spoke a little bit there, I think, about this idea of this uncomfortable relationship in some ways between businesses and the environment. For you, like, how would you characterize that relationship between businesses and corporations and then the environment and sustainability?
Well, I would actually say that the relationship is more of an ongoing evolution. I think businesses' focus on the environment was traditionally or in the past more collection and consumption of resources, and that was how it was. That's how we define sustainability, because by consuming those resources to produce and manufacture, I think that's how we sustain business and that's how we sustain our lives at the time. However, I think as time passed, more resources were required to support that growing population on the planet, and the environment has slowly degraded. So we've seen water pollution, air pollution, biodiversity endangerment, climate change, and et cetera, et cetera. So I think with that, the whole notion of sustainability has also changed in our heads at the same time. In that sense, businesses now are intertwined with how they treat the environment, how they work with society, and on the ways that they go about it. And I think in that sense, we define that as ESG, which is environmental, social, and governance. So that's sort of the lens that a lot of us are now looking at in terms of doing business and investing in businesses.
And we're going to get into ESG and that whole criteria in just a bit. But what sustainability initiatives have businesses in Malaysia and Asia been looking into from what you know?
So as you pointed out earlier at the beginning, things are looking much more rosy in terms of the global perspectives. Asia is the largest or one of the largest growing markets in the world. And at the same time, we are focused a lot on sustainable practices. However, it's sad to say that, Malaysia still are in its mid 95 to 96% in terms of, fossil fuel consumption, and energy demand is still growing in Malaysia as we're developing further. While at the same time, oil reserves for Malaysia are at 15 years and natural gas at 20 years until depletion. So looking at that, I think we are at a high time in terms of really looking for and exploring the clean coals and the biomasses, the solar, wind, and energies, renewable energies that are needed to sustain that growth. So I think governments, not just in Malaysia, but in the region and beyond, all the way to Asia Pacific, are looking at ways to find more non-fossil dependent sources of energy. And that's sort of how we are, I think, picking up in terms of, even at this time, we feel that the COVID-19 has also brought about a wake-up call in the sense how the impact it has to our businesses and the environment in itself. So it's a lot of, I think, mixed feelings on this issue, but we definitely see the pros and cons, and where we should be going forward is, I think, to be further debated.
And with that said, COVID-19 has, I think, affected the way a lot of people think about our impact here on the planet and what we're doing exactly. So with those different metrics before, has COVID-19 changed those conversations?
Absolutely. So I think the landscape has definitely changed, and it, ironically, it took a crisis to show how change can make a big difference and have an impact. Just looking at the environment, in Italy, you saw that the canals of Venice, the dolphins and the swans were coming back. In India, Delhi air has become much breathable and buildings can be seen. Even here in KL, I see the Twin Towers more clearly than ever before. But I mean, this is only a short term. There is anticipation that once COVID-19 or post COVID-19 passes us, that production will be even more higher, and that fuel consumption, especially fossil fuel consumption, will come back at a more higher rate. So I think in that sense, we see what can be done if we are able to conserve or behave in a more responsible way to the environment. But in terms of growth, economic growth, that's where we sort of are between, okay, what do we choose? How do we balance it? That question will always come up. And I think the answer to that may lie in seeking for a more sustainable way of doing business, in the ESG terms.
On the line with us today, we have D.W. Lee, Deputy Director of Action Learning at the Asia School of Business, in collaboration with MIT Sloan. And this is in conjunction, of course, with World Environment Day, and we're talking about how businesses can participate in this. If you have any thoughts about planet over profit, you can, of course, call 7733 2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, and tweet us at BFM Radio. We're going to be right back with DW after this. Keep it here on the Evening Edition, BFM 89.9.
Bombing frustrated minds, BFM 89.9.
It is 6:48 and you're listening to the Evening Edition. I'm Lynn, and today we are observing, of course, World Environment Day, and looking at the theme of planet over profit. And in light of that, we're trying to look at how businesses can also align with this and whether or not there is sufficient motivation to do so. So on the line with us, as before, we have D.W. Lee, Deputy Director of Action Learning at the Asia School of Business, in collaboration with MIT Sloan. So D.W., earlier you mentioned ESG, or environmental, social and governance criteria. And that's certainly something that's picking up traction among companies and how they do business. Can you walk us through it, maybe in simple terms?
Sure thing, Lynn. So ESG, which is an abbreviation of environmental, social and governance, it refers to three elements or factors, if you may, that provide a measurement to the level of sustainability and the impact it has in looking at investing in a company or a business. So with that said, I think before just the ESG concept, we have what we call a triple bottom line, which is referring to the actual profit that businesses make in a financial term, the impact it has on the planet, and also the community itself. So, and the people. So I think with that, it sort of embodies the spirit of ESG, and that's where sort of we look at right now in terms of how businesses are looking at the bottom line. So bottom line isn't just necessarily just financial, but actually the other two elements, how we're going to impact the planet or how it's bringing about in return of our work in business to the environment and to the community and people.
So when it comes to this issue of people, can we talk about why social factors like diversity can prove so important when it comes to driving sustainability?
Oh, absolutely. I think the S part, the social part, is definitely one of the most important elements of ensuring success and sustainability. This is because of, I guess when you're looking at the S part of ESG, it could be anything from labor practices or how this is impacting the overall societal community through the business that you are trying to operate and implement. And it could also be in terms of how that policy decision will impact the people that you bring in and the awareness of how important it is. So it's about the awareness building. It's about the capacity building to enable that sustainable practice to continue and grow.
One of the central things that I keep thinking about is motivation. And I think that that's perhaps because we've often operated under this whole idea of, you know, greed is good, that companies are driven by profit and profit alone. And yet, with that said, there is a growing body of evidence that companies with higher ESG ratings can outperform rivals and eventually drive up returns for investors. What are your thoughts on this?
So according to recent reports, many results show that a majority of companies with better ESG risk profiles, they actually beat those with the lower ones. And about two-thirds of actively managed sustainable equity funds, they've been beating their benchmark up until very recently, and this continues. And many of them were actually popular S&P 500 names, such as Microsoft, Alphabet, Visa, Apple, et cetera. So this is definitely not a one-off kind of bubble. And I feel that the ESG analysis is definitely becoming much more important than anticipated in terms of the impact it's having.
And what would you say then, I suppose, to industry leaders who might argue that, well, no, profits still need to take priority, perhaps?
Well, like I said earlier, the triple bottom line really encapsulates what the ESG is about, at least from how I see it. Even if you may have a short-term increase in profits, how will that be perceived by your customers, your stakeholders, in a wider sense? If they know that that your business is polluting your community's waters, or that you're taking away jobs are not being given to your own community, and it's being worked remotely from somewhere else in another part of the world, and it doesn't benefit your local economy. So then, you know, you lose your customer base, you lose your reputation and the support that you're getting from the business that you need to have from those stakeholders. So in the more mid to long term perspective, you want to make sure it becomes a virtuous cycle where you're actually giving back and while you're profiting. Whereas if you profit in a short term, it becomes a vicious cycle and where in the end, your business will not sustain. And that's sort of, in a way, the sustainability concept that's also embedded, not just in the profit sense, but social and environmental.
And you've done some work in the area of green financing. Could you maybe talk to us about what it entails exactly?
Absolutely. So we at the Asia School of Business recently, late last year, was commissioned by the ASEAN Capital Markets Forum, the ACMF, to explore and research sustainable a sustainable roadmap for the capital markets. So throughout this period, myself and four other students and two faculty members of our central banking program had embarked on a journey to look at the market. And we have found some very interesting findings that show that, I mean, this was a five-year roadmap, so this is going to be a more long-term work. But in terms of the actual capital markets, which go beyond just financing or green financing, we found many different findings. But I think one is that there is a need for capacity building and the need for transparency in the market to make sure that people make the right decisions, people make the right investments. And I think that comes to show that people are not just people as in individuals, but institutional investors and other organizations are showing deep interest to make sure that the companies that they invest in, the companies that they are profiting from, are sustainable, are responsible, both socially and environmentally and socially. So it is an interesting observation that we were able to make, and throughout that we were able to create a set of roadmaps proposed to the capital market chairs of the region as well as the finance ministers of ASEAN, and it was adopted. And we look forward to seeing how this will pan out in the next 5 years.
From your observations right now, are governments or the private sector actually leading the way to a greener future?
So I don't think this sustainability agenda can be solved by just one entity or one sector. It will definitely be a public-private partnership or a collaboration. I think that's one of the reasons at the final goal, or at least the last one, goal number 17 of the UN Sustainable Development Goals, it's about partnerships. So in line with that, I think it has to be a collaboration between both businesses, private sector, and governments, public sector, and even nonprofit sectors. Without this collaboration, this war on climate change or poverty or social, you know, gaps, I think will not be won. I think we need definitely to have a collaborative approach to it, and we see that happening now more than ever.
How can activist investors encourage companies into making more sustainable decisions? And for that matter, can the public play any role in this as well?
So actually, that's a great question, because we look for more macro perspectives on how to solve issues. While I mentioned just now about public-private partnerships and what governments and businesses can do, I think the biggest impact comes from the daily decisions and choices that we make in terms of consumption of foods or grocery shopping or buying a new product, just being conscious and aware of where this is coming from and how it was made, and you know, just demanding to the businesses that you need to know what and where this is coming from, so that you make the conscious decisions and that you're having as minimum impact on the planet as you make those decisions. And I think by virtue of that, businesses will even realize more, as they are already starting to, that they need to be more responsible, they need to be more transparent, and the process needs to be there to ensure their businesses succeed in a sustainable manner. So it's the daily choices that we all make that will make it happen. That's my firm belief here.
DW, thank you very much for joining us this evening.
Thank you.
That was D.W. Lee, Deputy Director of Action Learning at the Asia School of Business, in collaboration with MIT Sloan, weighing in on businesses in this age of trying to prioritize the planet over profit. And I think ending on a really lovely note about how ultimately it's going to come down to all of us. If you have any thoughts, anything that you'd like to contribute this World Environment Day, you can call 7732900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, and tweet us at BFM Radio. We are going to be back after the 7 o'clock news, so keep it here on the Evening Edition, BFM 89.9. This World Environment Day special was brought to you by Inda Water Consortium, New Life for Water.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my, BFM 89.9. The Business Station.